You can see a lot in our night sky with just a $200 telescope. Like, a surprising amount. You can see the moons of other planets, immense clusters of stars, stellar nurseries, and many more wondrous sights, including, but not limited to, supernova explosions that outshine entire galaxies. Yes, you can capture countless spectacular objects in our night sky with even the most amateur of budgets. But after about 10 years of stargazing with the same setup, you start wanting more. You start wanting to push the boundaries of what is possible. Is anything in our universe off limits? Or with enough long exposure photographs, can I capture the entire cosmos from my back garden? The answer? No. Not only are some objects off limits to me here in the Northern Hemisphere, but the suffocating light pollution severely constricts what I can observe. Mix that with the temperamental English weather and the occasional cold night where I lose feeling in my fingers, nose and toes, it can be quite difficult to try and compete with images taken by space telescopes such as Hubble. But I think I know how to overcome this.
I'm Damon Scotting, and this is Astronomical.
I retreated back inside to the warm blue glow of my laptop and searched for remote telescopes that I could freely control. I wanted to be able to point a giant telescope at whatever I wanted, whether it be at the Pillars of Croatian for 60 seconds or absolutely nothing for 7 hours. P.S. I'll be posting this video soon, so make sure you're subscribed. This is just one episode of many in which I'll be using some of the best land-based telescopes from all across our planet to image some truly astronomical wonders.
Now, I love astrophotography, it's really fun, but it feels a little bit like cheating using a telescope located thousands of miles away where I haven't had to stand outside in the cold all night and watch my fingers freeze. I want to view these images in a setting that's a bit more fitting for what they really are. I didn't want to just open up my laptop in my bedroom and go through them one by one because I thought that might be quite boring. So instead, I've come out to the region in which I normally stargaze. I've brought my projector with me, and now we're going to look at the images as they deserve to be seen on a massive scale beneath the stars. Okay, so this is CG4. This is otherwise known as God's Hand. So I just want you to look at this just for a second before I tell you any more information about it. What do you see when you look at this image of our night sky? To me, it looks like one of the sandworms from the movie Dune, reaching out and devouring an entire galaxy. But that's not what actually is going on. It is a cometary nebula, which means it's a nebula that looks very similar to a comet. It appears to be a monster reaching out on the verge of devouring yet another galaxy. And it looks as though it's much larger than the entire galaxy. It's not. The mouth, the claw of this immense nebula, is only a light year in diameter. Whereas the galaxy, still seeming fairly large, is actually over 100 million light years away from us. So it's much further away. So because of scale, it looks like it's really tiny. This ghostly figure appears as though it is the destroyer of worlds, but that is not the case. In fact, within this nebula, there are new worlds being born as we speak. It is not a gargantuan monster that lurks in the dark edges of our universe, destroying worlds. It is in fact the birthplace of many new ones. Looks can be deceiving. Next up, we have Messier Object 1, otherwise known as the Crab Nebula. This formed in 1054 AD. It was first observed by Chinese astronomers as it lit up our night sky. The brightness lasted for 23 days. The supernova explosion was so bright that it could be seen during the daytime and appeared as a second sun. But what's really cool is this. This is an image taken by the Hubble Space Telescope.
And this is an image taken moments before I blow your mind.
This was taken earlier this year. Now, it's very subtle, but you can notice a difference between these two images. And the difference is, the cloud of nebula that has formed from the supernova remnant is expanding. As time has passed, this supernova remnant has expanded in its size, and we can record this, we can see this through our past data. Comparing these images, I can show you a time lapse of the universe on the grandest of scales. Next up, we have the Helix Nebula. This is one of the many eyes of our cosmos. It is a beautiful planetary nebula. Now, one of the many misleading things about space images is the fact that this appears to be a flat image, but it's not. If we look at this 3D model, we can see that the Helix Nebula is far more complex than it appears to us here on Earth. And there are many eyes like this in our cosmos.
A planetary nebula is not formed in the same way as a supernova. For starters, these nebulae originate from intermediate to low mass stars, stars that are not big enough to go supernova. Instead, as they reach the end of their lives, they expand and shed their most outer layers before eventually becoming white dwarfs that now sit at the center of these truly remarkable displays. Our next target is conveniently located just above our projected image. Hidden beneath Alnitak, the leftmost star of Orion's belt, is one of the most popular targets in astrophotography.
Located in the belt of Orion, we have this colossal wonder. It is a dark nebula. It hides the stars behind it, but within it, new stars are being born. And located towards the right, we can see an oddly unique figure. This is the Horsehead Nebula.
The nebula is located 1,375 light years away, and it is most noticeable because in an area filled with so much dazzling starlight, here we observe an absence of it. Protruding from this cloud is an active site for low mass star formation. Perhaps the universe isn't quite ready yet to lift the curtain and unveil its latest superstars.
In our galaxy alone, there are over 100 globular clusters, and this is perhaps one of the most beautiful. This is Omega Centauri.
With a diameter of 150 light years and located just over 17,000 light years away, this star cluster is estimated to contain 10 million stars.
Could you imagine what it'd be like to live at the center of this cluster of stars? What our night sky would look like? Our nights would permanently be illuminated by starlight.
What makes Omega Centauri that much more special than any other star cluster is that we believe it originated from the core remnant of a dwarf galaxy. Our nearest stellar neighbour, Proxima Centauri, is located 4.25 light years away. These stars are on average a mere 0.1 light years apart from one another. It has been theorized that the cluster is a disrupted dwarf galaxy absorbed by our own Milky Way. Located at the center of this cluster is a horrifying mystery, a black hole with a mass of 40,000 suns.
This is the Sombrero Galaxy. We are seeing a galaxy almost perfectly edge on, and of course at the center, where most of the stars exist and most of them are being devoured by a supermassive black hole, we see this bulge, this overwhelmingly bright point of light.
On a much larger scale than Omega Centauri, we are seeing millions of stars tidally orbit a black hole with a mass of 1 billion suns. Facing us edge on, the shape of this galaxy provides us with a new perspective on the structure of galaxies. With a diameter of 49,000 light years, but a thickness of just 500 light years. Moving away from the dark monsters of our universe to one of its more uplifting sights. Perhaps equally as chaotic, but certainly more beautiful, is this wonder, the antennae galaxies.
So we have two galaxies coming together and merging to eventually become one, but there is this colossal trail of the galaxy as they are coming together. These entangled lovers will merge into one new island of stars.
These two galaxies are currently going through a starburst phase, which is when the steady collision of their clouds of dust and gas leads to much faster star formation.
Now, as humans are very good at spotting patterns in our night sky, we use constellations as a way of determining when winter and summer are coming up and when to move on in search of different foods in different places across our planet. We're great at it. but it also means that we look for patterns where there aren't any, including this bright emission nebula behind me. What do you see when you look at this image? This is the Statue of Liberty Nebula. Other people have referred to this as the Lone Wolf. So yeah, I'm going to be using these telescopes and many more a lot more often. I think they're great because they allow me to see things that aren't visible in the Northern Hemisphere, which is really cool. I've never actually seen Omega Centauri before, so it's nice to get images of that. It also allows me to see things which normal amateur equipment wouldn't possibly be able to make out. In fact, I'm going to release a couple of videos in the future which are going to be pushing the lengths at which an amateur can image. I'm going to be trying to emulate photos taken by the Hubble Space Telescope. So it's really exciting. So if you want to see them and many more videos, make sure you're subscribed. I'm Damon Scotting, and this was Astronomical. Okay, this is Thor's helmet. This is Thor's helmet. Wait, now, how's he talk? Are you there? This drink, I like it. Another. This is Thor's helmet. That's how he sounds. Okay, all right, go back over here. Next.
Please don't.
And then lastly, we have Thor's helmet. This is Thor's helmet nebula.